Last week, in my message on the Golden Rule, I made a statement that the Golden Rule is not the gospel. And probably if you took a poll in churches and among Christians, you would probably be amazed and shocked at how many people could not define the gospel for you. As we attempt to define what the gospel is this morning, it is something that cannot be fully defined by humanity. We are human beings. God is a holy God. The gospel message is something that God knew and God had planned and put in place before the creation and the foundation of the world. But as we look at the gospel and examine what it means and what it means to us today, first of all, let's look at the human view. So we look to Webster's dictionary. Webster defines the gospel as the teaching of Jesus and the apostles. Well, that goes a long way. In fact, Jesus did teach the Golden Rule, and so did the apostles in their teaching. Webster also says that the gospel is anything proclaimed or accepted as absolute truth. And we've all, oftentimes, many of us heard the statement, this is the gospel truth, when somebody tells you something, that this is the gospel truth, with the understanding that what they are about to say is to have some sort of authority behind it, that it's more truthful or it has some authority because it's the gospel truth. But I want you to look at it this morning in the heavenly view, in God's view, in God's explanation. First of all, in the New Testament, when we look at what the word gospel means, there are two words in the Greek language that they use in the Bible for gospel. One is sort of in the verb tense or verb sense as an action, so to speak. The other is more in the noun, the sense of a noun. The verb sense is euangelzio, which is to announce, the action of announcing or to bring or declare good tidings or to preach the gospel, more in an action sense. The other is euangelion, which is where we get the word evangelism somehow from, that where we evangelize. But euangelion is more of what the gospel is per se, being a good message. Well, when we think about a good message or good tidings, we right away think of the reading from the second chapter of Luke where the angels came to the shepherds. The shepherds were terrified and the angels said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings," that is the verb tense, euangelizio, "of great joy. I declare to you, or I preach to you, or I announce to you this gospel, this good message of great joy, which shall be to all people." And that was that today in the city of David, a Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord. In other words, the Messiah has been born. The New American Standard Bible translates it this way, that the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." And this is where we get that the gospel is good news. In the 10th chapter of Acts, Peter goes to Cornelius' house and speaks the gospel to them there. Luke quotes Peter by saying, where Peter says, "All the prophets testify about Jesus that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Luke also says in Acts 4, "There's salvation to no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved." Paul wrote to the Romans, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," that word being the noun sense of that, euangelion, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." In other words, there's power in the gospel. There's power in this good message. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And he says, "For in this good message, in this gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed." In other words, God reveals how one can become righteous in this good message, in the gospel. And it's by faith from first to last. Therefore, we conclude that the heavenly view, or the definition of what the gospel is, biblically, it is a good message about salvation in Jesus Christ. Paul told the Galatians some pretty harsh words. They were being thrown into confusion by the false teachers teaching salvation by other means. And Paul said to them twice, if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel or a good message, should we or an angel from heaven proclaim this message other than the one that we already preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. In other words, if anybody tells you any other gospel, any other good news, then the good news of salvation, Jesus Christ, let them be eternally condemned. The reason that Paul was so passionate about speaking the gospel and preaching and teaching the gospel, he tells in Romans 10, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they might be saved. He says, I can testify that they're zealous for God. I see they're zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. In other words, it's not based on God's revelation of salvation in Jesus Christ, because they did not know the righteousness that comes from God. That was Jesus. And they sought to establish their own. They didn't submit to God's righteousness. Paul went on to say, the word is near you. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart. That is the word of faith that we're proclaiming. That was the gospel he's talking about. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Because it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And anyone who puts his trust in him will never be put to shame. So by confession of faith in Jesus Christ, believing in our hearts that Jesus is the Messiah, we are saved. How did Paul convince so many in all of his years in ministry of this? He didn't do it with philosophy. He said, I, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come with eloquent excellency of speech or wisdom. One of the translations says, I didn't come to you with eloquence. I didn't come declaring unto you the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, He didn't come with all this other fancy smooth talk and flattery. He came putting it to the point. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he says, I was with you in weakness and fear and trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in the demonstration of the Spirit, that your faith not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So he came proclaiming the gospel because he wanted them to know the truth and be saved. In other words, he preached the gospel and people were converted by his preaching of the gospel. So the question is, what is the gospel? We come to the 15th chapter of Corinthians today, which is one I picked where I believe Paul spells it out, not exhaustively, but in a very a good manner that you and I can understand. He starts by saying, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you. And this here, the gospel in the Greek, meant the good message. I want to remind you of the good message that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. In other words, he's saying, this is the message that I preached to you. This is the message that is the foundation of your faith. They were standing on it because it was solid truth and it became the foundation of their faith. And he says, I want to remind you of this gospel. He goes on to say, by this gospel, you are saved. You're saved if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. Now, the New Living Translation says it like this, which makes that a little more understandable. It is this good news that saves you if you firmly believe it. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. So he's saying, I want to remind you of this good message. It's this good in this good message that you were saved. Otherwise, you are believing in vain. Now we get to the meat of the gospel. He says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. In other words, it was the most important thing that I passed on, the first thing that I focused on, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. First of all, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, Paul didn't have the New Testament. So the scriptures he was referring to were the Old Testament scriptures, the prophecies concerning the Messiah. You see, the understanding was that the Messiah was to come and save his people. God would send a Messiah to save his people. And he's saying that first and foremost, according to what the scripture said about the Messiah, that the Messiah would come and save his people, Christ is that Messiah, and he died for our sins. Secondly, he goes on to say there that he was buried and raised on the third day according to the scriptures. He was dead because he was buried. He was raised on the third day, again, according to the prophecies of the Messiah, saying the Messiah would come, he would be persecuted, he would be put to death, and he would rise again. So Paul's reminding them, this is the message that I preached to you that was of first importance. This was the good message on which you base your faith. That Christ died for our sins, he was buried, he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And Paul says, we know that he was raised because in verse 4, he says that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. That he was buried and raised on the third day, he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. So, in other words, we saw him. He was seen. He was seen by 500 people. He was seen also by James. He appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, Paul says, I saw him. He appeared to me as to one abnormally born. In other words, I wasn't worthy of his presence. I wasn't one of his believers. But yet he appeared to me. We saw him. I saw him. I who even hated him. In other words, Jesus was the Messiah according to the scriptures. Remember when Jesus met up with the two on the road to Emmaus in the book of Luke? Jesus had been crucified. They were on their way home. Their heads were hanging low. They were sad. And Jesus came to them. And he says, oh, foolish men, how slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures, in the Old Testament. This is the scriptures Paul was talking about. That the scriptures testified to this Messiah. And Jesus was this Messiah. When Jesus came to them after he was risen from the dead, he said, this is what I told you when I was with you. This is what is written, that the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name. Isaiah 53 speaks of the suffering Messiah. Psalm 22 speaks of his crucifixion. Psalm 16 speaks of his resurrection. Jeremiah 31 speaks of the new and everlasting covenant. Isaiah 59 speaks of an intercessor who will blot the sins of God's people. His birth was foretold by the ancient prophets. Isaiah 63 speaks of the glorious Messiah. Psalm 2 speaks of the Messiah as king. And of course, all the way back to Genesis 3, when God cursed the serpent and promised to put enmity between the offspring of Satan and the offspring of the woman, and he, that enmity, which is Jesus Christ, would crush the head of the serpent, which he did on the cross of Calvary. The gospel is the good message that the Messiah has come, and is Jesus Christ, and that he died for our sins, that he rose from the dead to give all who believe in him hope of that same resurrection and eternal life. The gospel message is the foundation of all who believe in and are saved, and it is in the Word of God from cover to cover. God reveals the good news. But it's like a common newspaper. It's like the common paper that we see on the newsstands. It has several sections. We open it up. We like to read our own sections first, some of us. It has several sections. Some read it often. Some never read it at all. Some read it from cover to cover, and some just pick out the bits and pieces that they want to read, the pieces that they like the comics, the obituaries, the sports, the stock market report, the crime reports of all who have broken the law. It's all in here. It's all in here. There's comics in here. It's comical how God works, how He defeats His enemies. There's obituaries in here. When we read about certain saints, Old Testament patriarchs, dying, turning to their fathers. There's sports in here. There's a lot of battles going on. There's offense, there's defense. There's stock market advice in here. When Jesus says, don't lay up treasures on earth, store up treasures in heaven that have lasting value. There's crime reports of all who have broken the law. What does Isaiah say this morning? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. We've all broken his law. Some read it and don't believe a word it says. Some read it and won't remember what it says. Some read it and twist what it says. But it's important that we read the newspaper called the Bible, because in it is good news, a good message. We are sin-sick people from the womb, in need of a cure, in need of a vaccine, in need of healing. And there's good news in here. There's headlines that says a Messiah has been born. I give you good news of great joy for all people. Jesus says in Mark 16, go into the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere, and anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe the news, the headlines, will be condemned. Kind of harsh words, but they're in red. They're a warning, and they're Jesus' words. Folks, there's an epidemic in our world today, and it's called sin. And Isaiah says it rightly when he says, we like sheep have gone astray. And each of us has turned to his own way. But the good news is God has given a remedy, a vaccine to cure us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and save us from death. And that cure is a man named Jesus Christ. He did not come to condemn us, but to save us. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, and bids everyone, come. Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. Come, so that we might become the righteousness of God through Him and have eternal life with Him forever. Now that might not be the section that you want to pull out of here. You might not like the section that says we're a sinner. A lot of people don't. That's why a lot of people reject it. But we have to remember the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. That God provided a man who died, who rose again, and who says, come to me and rise again. And it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I want to remind you of this. I want to remind you of this good message that I gave you. That's the foundation of your faith. I want to remind you. We need to be reminded daily, sometimes by the hour, when the world is bearing down on us, when temptation surrounds us, when we're tempted to click onto that website, when we're tempted to let our anger rage, when we're tempted to deceive our little webs that's going to destroy someone else. We need to remember what the gospel says to us, that there's a cure for that, and His name is Jesus Christ.